Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 22nd. GOP primary election. Local candidates discuss plans for office. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Midland County Republican Party held a forum Tuesday night for Republican candidates in the primary election. Primary election early voting has already begun. Election day is March 5th. The Midland County Republican Party held a question-and-answer forum where Republicans from the district attorney, sheriff, and Precinct 1 county commissioner race shared their thoughts on local issues and their plans should they take office. At the end of the night, time was allotted for uncontested Republicans to share a sentiment. Note for voters. In the Republican primary Precinct 2 constable race, there will be two names on the ballot, Scott Caspier and Michael Poole. It was announced Tuesday that Poole is no longer running for the position and has officially endorsed Caspier. District Attorney Glenn Harwood and Kyle McCardle kicked off the night. McCardle is currently an assistant district attorney at the DA's office. McCardle said he knows what is working in the district attorney's office and he knows what isn't working. He is familiar with the personnel, their strengths and weaknesses, he said. McCardle said the district attorney's office needs to do a better job of being open and available to the public. Quote, availability leads to accountability, and we have social media. The public should know what's going on in the office on a daily basis, he said. Let them know this is what we're trying this week. This is what's going on. This is how many cases we've got, just so the public knows what we're doing. End quote. Harwood enlisted in the military to start his career. He spent the first few years of his military time in the infantry before attending law school. He spent about 15 years as an Army judge advocate, Army lawyer, primarily as a prosecutor. He came to Midland in 2015 when he became a federal prosecutor at the U.S. Attorney's Office. Harwood said in his opening statement that the current district attorney, Laura Nordhoff, who is not running for another term, doesn't share the values of the community, quote, and that office needs a cultural overhaul, end quote. To address an uptick in local crime, the two were asked how they plan to send a message to the local community to deter crime should they take office. McCardle says he wants to become more involved in schools. He said there's been an uptick in crime in the 16 to 25-year-old demographic and wants to share the consequences of crime with school children to intervene before they start down a negative path. Quote, half the murders I've tried have been 16-year-olds or 18-year-olds, really, by the time they were in our court, and I can tell you, just listening to jail calls and things like that, they had no idea the consequences their actions were going to have, he said. Along with school programs, McCardle said stiff sentences send a message to the community as well. Harwood said the DA's office needs to improve the streamlining of cases, saying the DA's office tries a lot of cases they don't need to, and they need to be more efficient with their time. Quote, we can also avoid taking some of the ridiculous cases that we've taken in the past. Think about how much time was spent on some of these high-profile disasters over the last several years. That's time that could have been spent on actual criminal cases, he said. Harwood added that by getting cases to trial quicker and doing a better job of choosing which cases go to trial and trying those cases better, the office can repair its relationship with the public. Harwood also said the relationship between the office and law enforcement needs to be improved as well. Harwood said improving the relationship between the office and the public, as well as law enforcement, are his major priorities, as well as streamlining case selection. These changes will help with prosecutor retention, according to Harwood. Quote, either way, there will be a change in leadership, so if that's the only issue with law enforcement that's going to be fixed either way, McArdle said. I haven't seen the same issue with law enforcement, honestly. I have a good relationship with all of them. I have them text, call me, almost daily for advice on charging cases, end quote. McArdle said there is a lot about the district attorney's office that is working. He said he would not dismiss a lot of cases to try to up our conviction rate. He added that the DA should be trying cases themselves. He again mentioned that education to curtail criminal behavior before it happens is a priority, as well as transparency with the public. Quote, I can't change what happened in 2020. I can't change what happened in 2022. While we're looking forward, I can tell you we're not going to do things the same way, end quote. The candidates were asked about keeping corrections costs under control. McArdle said the office could consider referring nonviolent drug offenders to a rehabilitation program rather than incarceration. Quote, we have our specialty courts, our drug courts, our veterans court, we have mental health court we're all looking into. If we can take away from that budgetary concern for corrections, only send the worst of the worst to prison. Those that are repeat criminals that we've tried to rehabilitate before, and they just will not, he said. McArdle added that he wants to take a rehabilitative approach to certain first-time low-level offenders to reduce corrections costs. Quote, I'm going to be fiscally conservative with our DA's budget, Harwood said. But if somebody needs to go to TDC, then we're going to push for them to go to TDC, and if the state of Texas needs to spend more money on that, then they can do that. And if the county needs to spend more money on incarceration, then they can do that, end quote. Harwood said not every case should end in incarceration, but he will not adjust his definition of justice based on a corrections budget. Midland County Sheriff. Incumbent Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner and candidates Rory McKinney and Justin Painter discussed their experience and plans for the future. The trio were asked about how they plan to work with legislators and other law enforcement agencies to stop illegal immigration from affecting the local area. Kreiner said he's built a relationship with State Senator Kevin Sparks and Stephen McCraw, Director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, to work to combat illegal immigration. Kreiner called the situation at the southern border a crisis. Quote, Midland County will not become a sanctuary county or city as long as I'm your sheriff. We're going to enforce those laws because we know what they can bring across the border in these situations. We constantly are fighting the sex trafficking part. We have a drug unit. They are fighting the fentanyl crisis because we don't know who is coming over here. They need to be vetted, he said. Kreiner said he's not opposed to immigration, but those coming into this country need to do so legally and be vetted. But in its current state, the immigration situation destroys American school systems, social systems, and economic system, according to Kreiner. Painter said the Sheriff's Association of Texas and the Western States Sheriffs Association are beginning to bring legislation to Washington, D.C. regarding immigration policy. He said he would send officers to border counties to assist local law enforcement so long as it doesn't jeopardize the safety of the local community. Quote, "Something I want to do is put license plate readers, or LPRs, on our vehicles, patrol vehicles to go out and patrol. It will help us communicate with DPS, with Border Patrol, so whenever they put out attempt to locate or BOLOs, be on the lookout, we can be able to track them faster and get a hold of them faster so we can find money couriers, drug couriers, human trafficking," he said. McKinney said Governor Greg Abbott is doing all he can in terms of border security, and whenever he tries to come up with a solution to the issue, President Joe Biden steps in the way. McKinney said the illegal immigration issue is complex. He said he wanted to visit the border and bring the information back to the local area. In addition, electing a Republican president would allow law enforcement agencies, quote, to go back to work for the federal government, end quote. Quote, "We have no clue who is coming across in not only Texas, but the whole nation. Cartels are sending people across so that they can further their narcotics trade and their human trafficking trade." McKinney wants to work together with the state on the immigration issue. The candidates were asked how they would improve public access and the relationship with the community. McKinney said the sheriff's office helps everybody and should hold town hall meetings for the public to hear about what they do and make them more known. Kreiner said the sheriff's office has improved accountability and community involvement in recent years, adding an internal therapist to the office and a community relations officer who organizes public engagement events. The candidates were asked about how they would continue to promote collaboration between city and county law enforcement agencies. Quote, "Whether it be with the sheriff's office, the police department, MISD, Greenwood ISD, or even the state and federal, we have to come together, we have to train together, we have to work together," McKinney said. Extending beyond local entities, McKinney said the sheriff's office needs to collaborate with West Texas law enforcement agencies in general. Kreiner said he has built relationships with state and local agencies over time, stemming from his tenure with the DPS. Kreiner said he hosts a quarterly luncheon for all local law enforcement agencies. Pater said he'd work closely with all local law enforcement agencies, and it's important to build those relationships. The bond between agencies in high-pressure situations is vital to keeping the local area safe, he said. Precinct 1 County Commissioner Charles Hall was the Midland County Constable in Precinct 4 for 20 years. Hall said he would like to continue the positive work that the current Commissioner's Court has started. The seat Hall is running for is currently held by Scott Ramsey. Ramsey is not seeking re-election. Hall said the county has done well to improve roads in the area. Hall said he is aware he will join the Commissioner's Court as they recently approved a certificate of obligation to build a new jail, a county road 1140 and 110. His opponent is Terry Luck. Luck was a patrol deputy alongside current Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner. He's been a peace officer in Texas for around 7 years in Ector County, Midland County Sheriff's Department, and the Midland Police Department. He began his law enforcement career in the 1980s. He's been in Midland for 42 years. When asked about their first 90 days in office, Hall said he would research more county projects and gain more knowledge, and if there's a project or direction the county is moving that he doesn't agree with, he would bring that up to the court. Luck said he would meet with all county staff and gain an understanding of their viewpoints on local projects and issues. He wants to implement an open-door policy to be accessible to the community and office. He mentioned content and books at the local library, which he would like to look into as well. Hall and Luck were asked how they plan to go about building roads, securing water and infrastructure that will be maintained without raising county residents' taxes, given the large-scale projects that are already on the county's agenda, like a new jail and sheriff's office. Hall said the county has done well to not raise taxes in the local area, even though they have taken on these projects. Quote, I do disagree with giving away sales tax like the city did to Bass Pro Shops. We've got to have that sales tax to help pay for the jail, because that stuff is going to bring more crime. It's hard to admit that being from Midland, but in all truthfulness, it is. End quote. Luck said the county has looked for opportunities to secure federal and state funding, which it uses for current water projects and other improvements. Quote, I don't have a big problem with a little more sales tax or consumption tax, whatever you want to call that, to be used by the people that are here. But you got to remember, we have a lot of people coming to town, Luck said. The MCRP, a lot of time at the end of the night for uncontested Republicans to speak. Is winter over in West Texas? Here's what weather models say. The story was written by Anthony Franz, Hearst newsroom meteorologist. This week, temperatures reached the 80s on both Tuesday and Wednesday in Midland, Odessa. It was the first 2 days of 2024 that temperatures had reached the 80-degree threshold. Also, it was just a few days removed from wind chill temperatures in the teens over the weekend. With this influx of warmth, is it possible that last weekend was West Texas's last bout of bitter cold weather before spring arrives? To answer that question, we have to look at the short-term weather models to get a grasp on what is coming during the last week of February. But we also must look at the long-term to see how March is shaping up. Thursday and Friday's forecast. Temperatures will be significantly cooler on Thursday as opposed to the previous 2 days. However, a significant cold front is not expected. The cooler temperatures will be due to a shift in the wind direction. As a weak low-pressure system moves to our north, winds will start to come in from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. The northwesterly winds will bring in cooler air, resulting in low temperatures in the upper 40s and highs in the low 70s by Thursday afternoon. While that is about 15 degrees cooler than Wednesday's high temperatures, it is also about 7 degrees above average for late February. Along with bright sunshine and breezy winds, it will be a nice day to spend outdoors. Cooler air will continue to move into West Texas late Thursday and Friday. Early morning temperatures will fall to the low 40s Friday morning and rise to the mid to upper 60s by Friday afternoon. Spring-like weekend. Officially, spring doesn't start until next month, but warm weather will dominate the forecast this weekend. On Saturday, high temperatures will rise back to the mid-70s under mostly sunny skies. Then by Sunday, widespread highs in the 80s are likely once again. Winds will also be breezy, coming in near 20 miles per hour in the afternoon. Monday will be a similar day to Sunday, as highs stay in the low to mid-80s under partly cloudy skies. Changes, though, are expected by the middle of next week. The next cold front. After another warm and windy day on Tuesday, weather models are starting to agree that the next significant cold front to affect West Texas will come on Wednesday. The exact timing and strength of the front still needs to be worked out, but high temperatures could drop to the 50s by Wednesday and Thursday next week. Freezing temperatures are possible with this cold front briefly next Thursday morning, but a long-term weather pattern shift does not appear likely. Spring-like weather will be possible again by the end of the week and next weekend. Is winter done in West Texas? Obviously, there are still going to be a few cold fronts that move through West Texas over the next month or so. But will any of them actually bring legitimate winter weather that lasts for more than a day? It's a tough question to answer because as you look more than 7 to 10 days into the future, weather models become widely inconsistent. That being said, meteorologists look at ensemble modeling to see trends 1 to 4 weeks away. Ensemble modeling is the process of taking multiple models with a variety of different starting conditions and averaging the results together. As of now, model ensembles do point to above-average temperatures continuing in West Texas for the first week of March. However, models are trending toward below-average temperatures toward the middle of March. By that time of year, freezing temperatures are absolutely possible, but the chance of an extended winter outbreak is quite low. Planning and zoning approves the Waystone's expanded hours. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Brewpub The Waystone in Plaza Oaks Shopping Center at 2101 West Wadley is in the process of expanding its offerings. Planning and Zoning Commissioners on Tuesday unanimously approved Waystone Brewing's LLC request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption. The request was made as Waystone owners Ted and Jalen Morehouse and Henry and Franny Zollinger seek to expand the hours and days they serve alcohol. The Waystone's current designation allows for alcohol sales Thursday and Friday from 5 to 10 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The owners want to now offer alcohol sales and consumption daily from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Nano Brewery offers 4 Waystone creations, a homemade root beer soda, guest beers, and alcohol-free drinks ranging from cranberry sparkling water to coffee and tea. It also boasts the largest board game library in the Tall City. 37th Annual Spelling Bee sees host of first-time competitors. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The 37th Annual Reporter-Telegram Regional Spelling Bee, sponsored by Diamondback Energy, will feature 36 total spellers competing for a chance to advance to the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. The Regional Spelling Bee takes place on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Wagner and Brown Auditorium at Midland College. 2022 MRT Regional Spelling Bee champion Sharia Sivakumar is one of the returning spellers in 2024. Sivakumar finished as the runner-up in last year's Regional Bee. Other spellers who are returning to compete include Big Spring Intermediate's Tristan Trinidad. Trinidad finished tied for fourth in 2022 and tied for third in 2023 with Bowie Fine Arts Academy's Easton Pitt, who is also a returning speller in this year's B. Bennett LaGrue tied for 11th place in 2023 and will return in 2024. Outside of those four, the rest of the spellers are a collection of newcomers ranging from grades 3 through 8 in schools from the region, including Midland, Greenwood, Big Spring, Monahans, and Andrews. Midland Reporter-Telegram Regional Spelling Bee Champions since 1993. 1993, Jeremy Gengler from Goddard. 1994, Tarfia Faizula from Trinity. 1995 and 1996, Vinesh Patel from Abel. 1997, Katie Noah from Goddard. 1998, Katie Noah from Goddard. 1999, Stacy Moore from Alamo. 2000, Michael Moore from Crockett. 2001, Chirag Alur from Abel. 2002, Michael Moore from Alamo. 2003, Nicholas Van Wynn from Jones. 2004, Jamie Lane from San Jacinto. 2005, Taylor Young from Alamo. 2006, Danielle Rubio from Monum. 2007, Callie Jones from Abel. 2008 and 2009, Samuel Dowlin from MACHE. 2010, Jace Brandel from Scarborough. 2011 and 2012, Thomas Rubio from Alamo. 2013 and 2014, Gabby Rubio from Alamo. 2015, Anna No from Carver Center. 2016, Sarika Shamarthy from Fasken. 2017 and 2018, Srikar Sharmathi from Abel. And 2019, Amulya Kanta from Abel. 2020, Sanja Vadlapatla from Young Women's Leadership Academy. 2021, Shweta Jayakumar, Young Women's Leadership Academy. 2022, Shreya Siva Kumar from Carver Center. 2023, Savita Shaya Kumar, Young Women's Leadership Academy. Number of champions by school since 1993. Alamo Junior High, 7. Abel Junior High, 5. Goddard Junior High, 3. Young Women's Leadership Academy, 3. MACHE, 2. Carver Center, 2. San Jacinto Junior High, Trinity School, Crockett Elementary, Jones Elementary, Bonham Elementary, Fasken Elementary, and Scarborough Elementary, 1. 37th Annual MRT Regional Spelling Bee Participants. Abel Junior High, Michael Onakwa. Big Spring Intermediate, Jackson Mendoza. Big Spring Junior High, Tristan Trinidad. Bonham Elementary, Zoe Gibbs. Bowie Fine Arts Academy, Easton Pitt. Bunch Elementary, Samuel Brown. Burnett Elementary, Amy Thang. Bush Elementary, Diana Lan. Carver Center, Andrew Zhang. Dezvala Elementary, Jocelyn Marshke. Emerson Elementary, Nicholas Marino. Romero Fannin Elementary, Isabella Renteria. Fasken Elementary, Cole Almond. General Tommy Franks Elementary, Vincent De Leon. Goddard Junior High, Rias Staniland. Goliad Elementary, Emiliano Gay. Great House Elementary, Bailey Fudge. Greenwood Intermediate School, Carter Hogan. Henderson Elementary, Valerie Sines. Hillander School, Hayes Lucky, James R. Brooks Middle School, Carly Jones, Long Elementary, Carrigan Gidney, Midland Christian School, Jackson McNeil, Parker Elementary, Tiersland Kling, Parkway Elementary, Yadela Gardea, Pease Communications and Technology Academy, Adrian Gomez, Rusk Elementary, Addison Tavares, San Jacinto Junior High, Bennett LeGrew, Santa Rita Elementary, Sophia Aguilar, Scarborough Elementary, Austin Brighton, South Elementary, Trinity Hancock, St. Anne's School, Michael Chukwuma, Trinity School, Kason Ferguson, Underwood Elementary, Madeline Garcia, Yarborough Elementary, Josiah Bermia, Young Women's Leadership Academy, Sharia Siva Kumar. Here is an obituary that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 22nd. John Dennis Murphy, born on February 25, 1942, in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, peacefully passed away on February 13th in Midland. He was a former resident of Sioux County, Nebraska. John lived a fulfilling life as a rancher in Sioux County until 1985, when he relocated to Midland, Texas. Throughout his lifetime, he pursued various hobbies, including shooting sports, hunting, team roping, flying airplanes, horse racing, and reading. John was preceded in death by his parents, Emil and Edith Murphy, and his sister, Carol Lee Murphy. He is survived by his brothers, Gene Murphy and his wife, Carol, of Mitchell, Nebraska, and Bill Murphy of Kadoka, South Dakota. He is also survived by his son, Larry Murphy, and his wife, Jenny, of Colorado Springs, Colorado. His daughter, Lori Rotan, and her husband, Deron, of Midland, Texas, as well as several grandchildren. John will be remembered fondly by his family, friends, and all who knew him for the zest for life, his love for his hobbies, and his dedication to his loved ones.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. Entertainment. Things to do in Midland, February 22nd through 28th, by B.K. Richter. From the mystical journey of tea leaf reading to a free open gym invitation to a coffee stand's ribbon-cutting ceremony, here's a list of three things to do in Midland. Tea leaf reading. Earth, Body, and Soul, located at 333 North Midkiff, will be offering a tea leaf reading in addition to a class that claims to aid in transporting oneself on a mystical journey. According to the class description, the instruction will be centered on the art of reading tea leaves, as well as paying tribute to the history and tradition of the time-honored tradition. The class is Thursday at 7 p.m. Tickets are $25, but only a limited amount of tickets will be sold. For more information, go to the store's Facebook page. Open Gym Time. The Permian Basin Ninja Academy will be hosting a free open gym day. The training academy will allow 20 kids the opportunity to try out the Ninja Warrior training facility. To sign up, use their app to get in for free. The app, PB Ninja Academy, is available on both Samsung and Apple phones. The gym is located at 3303 West Illinois, Suite 4. The gym time will be offered on Saturday from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. 7 Brew Midland opening. The drive-through coffee chain 7 Brew will be hosting a ribbon cutting for its first Midland location at 2201 West Texas. During the official ceremony, 7 Brew plans to present a donation of $1,500 to the Midland Humane Coalition. The ceremony is slated for February 28th at 10 a.m. and is free to the public to attend. For more information on the coffee company, visit https://7brew.com/ What's Up in Midland This Month by Scott Nunn. At the Arts Council of Midland, the open show, now through February 25th. On Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location every Saturday. At Golf Course Road Church of Christ, Food Truck Fridays every Friday. At the Horseshoe, Sun County Region Volleyball Tournament, February 24th and 25th. At Midland Historical Society, Sea of Grass, Midland and the West Texas Frontier, at the Midland County History Museum, Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Midland Animal Services, Rescue Runners every first and third Saturday. At Riley's Bar and Grill, Burgers and Bands every Wednesday. At the Senior Center, Line Dancing Class every Tuesday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday. At Texas Sun Winery, Paint Party February 27th. Live Music with CPR Acoustics February 23rd. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Drum Tao 2024, February 25th. Bluey's Big Play, February 28th and 29th. At the Waystone, Super Bowl, Saturday. Cirque Italia, coming to Midland. Show will be held at the Midland Park Mall February 22nd through 25th by Scott Nunn. The Cirque Italia Water Circus Silver Show is coming to Midland at the Midland Park Mall February 22nd through 25th. Cirque Italia features a custom-designed water stage that holds 35,000 gallons of water utilized by performers throughout the show. The Italian entertainment company began in 2012 and describes itself as a vivid, dramatic, and moving experience under a customized traveling tent. This isn't the first time the company has come to Midland. Last year, Cirque Italia performed Paranormal Cirque at the same location. This year's show features artists swinging from ropes, riding on BMX bikes and roller skates, flipping over trapezes and more. There are curtains of rain and fountain jets crossing in sync with the movements of the performers, and laser lights and bubbles add to the experience. Tickets range from $15 to $55 for the show, which will be performed in the custom tent at 4511 North Midkiff in Midland. Shows are scheduled on the following days: Thursday, February 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Friday, February 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, February 24th at 1:30 p.m. Saturday, February 24th at 4:30 p.m. Saturday, February 24th at 7:30 p.m. Sunday, February 25th at 1:30 p.m. and Sunday, February 25th at 4:30 p.m. With each full-priced adult ticket in levels 2 and 3, guests can also get a free ticket for a child ages 2 through 12. Children under 2 are automatically admitted for free and must sit on a parent's lap. And car seats and strollers are not permitted inside the venue. Tickets can be purchased online on Cirque Italia's website, silver.cirqueitalia.com.